way of nonviolence. It's the only path to start the revolution of everlasting peace. Become a messiah, because the world is insane. It's no time to be passive. Take decisive action. Receive the new dispensation of universal priesthood, of the Pentecostal flame. No religious boundaries.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Realization of our oneness. Heal the separation by going out as sheep among wolves. Treading on scorpions, filled with fiery light, working day and night to bring home the lost and broken, bring them back into the fold of the fullness of heaven, the kingdom within, biomystical enlightenment, awakening in this new age. Be your own sage.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there, but I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend, only love will bind, only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Well, hello. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Points and Transformations. I'm Brian Rice from the Order of the Friends of Yeshua in the Apostolic Communion, coming to you without any restrictions, without any barriers to inclusivity. We're totally inclusive. Group of people here, and we're trying to reach as many people as we possibly can. And I'm thanking you from the bottom of my heart for your continued listener support for all the programs here in the Way of Consciousness Radio Network, and for especially the support that you're continuing to give for Turning Points and Transformations for those who come back and listen on demand. It's just been incredible, and I can't express my deep felt thanks enough. My heartfelt thanks enough for that. But what are we going to do today? Last week we explored the actuality of desire. And in a somewhat related subject today, we're going to talk about embracing contentment. How do we do that? That's probably one of the biggest challenges that we'll ever have to face as people, as human beings, because we do have what's called desire. Fiery desire energy. It's the very impetus, that the very base and core of who we are as humans, as God beings, beings made in God likeness, rather, in the likeness of God, not just male and female, but in the likeness of God, as the essence of, as the imagination of, as the very beautiful and rich and wonderful presence of what it means to be human and what it means to be alive is truly a wonderful gift. But in deep inside, underneath all that, we have at the core of our being this desire energy that causes us to, for good or for worse, seek which we really seek, is that of oneness with God, union with God. That's what we really seek. because we feel like we're in a perpetual state of separation from God. Well, we don't feel like it. We know. Sometimes we don't even know. Due to ignorance or to blindness, spiritual blindness. But this is a season where we should be discovering what it really means to be content and not to want to wear ourselves thin and want in the spirit of want. It's really hard not to get caught up with in the way, in the spirit of things. I don't even mean the wholesome spirit of the holidays. We're going to explore this more, and I just want to take a quick break. Let's listen to a song, and then we'll come right back, and we'll talk about embracing contentment. Okay, welcome back to Turning Points and Transformations. I'm Brian Rice, here with you on Wednesday, or whatever day it happens to be that you're listening, hopefully on demand, because that's where we've been getting the great response from. Now, contentment. What does it really mean to be content? All religious implications aside, all religious associations aside, let's just look at the universal element of contentment. Let's look at it as naked as possible and real as possible. Well, I don't have the definition from the dictionary, but to really be content means to be happy and to be totally at ease and totally accepting and allowing of the now, of this present moment. The present moment, and with all things that we have at our disposal. Can we be content? Can we say, I have enough? This is enough. It's hard. It's very hard. And I think about the spirit of the holiday season that's in consumerism and commercialism. I found it really hard to deal with some of the advertisements that were being played for Black Friday when they were infiltrating on Thanksgiving Thursday, when stores would be opening up at 8 p.m., turkey and not even digested or whatever else food you might have for your feast, if you're vegetarian for that matter. Food not even digested and people being tempted to go out to stores to to get these great blockbuster sales that you're doorbuster sales that you're never going to find anywhere else. It's a trap. There's all these traps out there in society, in the media, all over the internet. Say media, I mean TV, and I include cyberspace in that. Commercials, advertisements, printings that come in newspapers. I had to pick up an item for my wife on what happened to be Black Friday morning. I almost, in protest, wanted to not go, but it was at 6 a.m. Still, that was, you know, one day, not even 24 hours after having spent Thanksgiving meal with two different sides of the family and having a wonderful time doing so and being content with what we had, which was each other. What is it going to take to survive, to be spiritual, truly spiritual beings during this holiday season that comes with the expectation of giving of gifts, of getting, of receiving? Well, as long as we don't forget the giving in the equation, that's one good thing to do. That's one good thing to live by, one good rule to live by. To give is the better than to receive, yes. But don't give with the expectation of getting something in return. That just leads to suffering. Give without expectation, for one. That's just one piece of advice. But when it comes to all of the infiltrating information about all these sales, things that you need, things that you have to act upon, trying to get you to act on impulse buying, they call it. Well, if we're living out of lack, or in a state of separation from God, state of separation from the infinite one, from infinite creative consciousness, cosmic consciousness, God consciousness, separation from bliss, which is our true nature, then we're going to live out of lack. And in that spirit of lack, we're going to be driven. And we're going to be driven to want to acquire, to acquire, to acquire. No, I'm not a broken record. You're not listening to a broken record. But to acquire, to acquire, to acquire, to acquire, to acquire. More and more. More and more. These are the subliminal messages being sent by commercialism, marketing, savvy individuals, people running ad campaigns. They will hope, their hope is that their ads will catch you and get you to spend. Many times to get things you do not need. Let's take out of the equation the whole giving of gifts to other people. When it's you versus these insane representations of what human nature is. Let me rephrase that. when it's you versus these insane representations of what the commercial media sources are saying is acceptable or required of you to participate in the holidays in a way that's normal. You're normal if you respond to this ad, go to the department store at either 8 p.m., 12 midnight, 4 a.m., 6 a.m., it's outrageous. It's outrageous because it's every year it seems to be getting earlier and earlier, and it infringes upon a day where we're spending thanks or giving thanks, spending it with family and friends, mostly family and loved ones, if we're lucky, if we're blessed enough to do so, blessed enough to even have family. When you have to compete with the spirit of the season, the holiday seasons of Thanksgiving and the Christmas season or the Hanukkah season or Kwanzaa, whatever it may be, when you have to compete with these ideologies, these beliefs, rather, that say you will be happy if you come out and acquire this now. Acquire, acquire, acquire this now. These are the subliminal messages, as I said before, that are underneath these advertisements, that are underneath these messages. We have to learn to discern. I've had to learn to discern. I've had to learn to discern the hard way. I'm talking as a person recovering from bankruptcy. I put it out there. Not proud of it. I got in over my head. And I had huge karma to pay for as a result of it. Huge karmic reminders as a result of that. Forget about the forgiveness of all the debts. It comes with a consequence and a cost. Now, I won't get into credit cards. And yes, I'm rebuilding my credit. And that's great. That's fine. That's wonderful. That's what the world expects of you. But I don't need to have two or three credit cards. But I do, and I use it wisely. And I use them wisely now. And I use them knowing that I can pay off what I've bought right away, not later. Pay off in the present, not in the future. See, greed is just a terrible thing. It destroys lives, it destroys marriages. It can poison people. People's minds, people's precious minds. Am I the only one who finds it outrageous that these sales were starting at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving for Black Friday? you know, nothing against the color black, but kind of connotes shadow and darkness. There's a certain seductive darkness that comes with that whole idea, that whole concept of Black Friday. Now, we're past that, so this is old news. But I'm just speaking in retrospect. I'm just speaking in retrospect because, honestly, the same thing continues throughout the holiday season, throughout the Christmas season as well. And it's easy to be tempted to want to buy for ourselves when we're supposed to be thinking of others. But there's all these reasons that we justify getting one more thing or obtaining and going out and getting that one thing that we didn't plan on getting. How many of us find ourselves in those situations where we, oh my gosh, this is a great deal. I got it. I have to get this. Well, I think the biggest temptation that there is out there during this time of year is to think of me, to think of I. And I don't mean the true self, the essence of who we are, the I am presence, that is. I mean the I as in the ego, that of which wants to be gratified, that of which lives in lack, believes in the whole idea of lack, and therefore goes out and seeks in return to be filled because they're lacking something, because we're lacking something inside. Something external is going to give me that satisfaction that I'm seeking to fill that void within me. Something material. Paramahansa Yogananda, in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, God Talks with Arjuna, talked about King Material Desire as being a symbolic component in all devotees, all people, even spiritual seekers. It's of the kingdom of the ego. It's one of the citizens in the kingdom of the ego. If we're being run, driven by King Material Desire, are we really thinking of other people when we're out there buying things and doing things and responding to these must-have-now messages? Must-have-now, must-have-now. It's insane. It becomes an insane ordeal. How do we live among that? We have to be spiritually centered. We have to be centered in who we are and knowing the essence and the truth of our identity. Whether it be in your belief system, whether it be the Christ, whether it be the Buddha nature, whether it be Krishna consciousness or some other God self representative being. Your higher self. That's who you are. You're not even the buyer of these objects, of these things, of these gifts. You are beyond that. You are forever beyond that. You are eternal. You are eternal. And so, what do we do to be content? How do we embrace contentment? It's to let go. To let go and to dismiss and to allow the voice of I need or I want or I must have, to allow those voices to dissolve into nothingness. Into nothingness. The essence of all meditation, of all meditative practices, of prayer, is the process of cultivating and stabilizing the awareness of one's real nature. And what we do is we seek to displace the hereditary human consciousness with the consciousness of the soul. I wrote that quote down from a book I read. I can't remember what it was, but it was about yoga meditation. So it's true for all meditation. And we have a caller, area code 111. If you have a comment, you want to share anything, just press 1 on your phone, and I'll definitely unmute you, and you can add to this conversation. But if you just want to listen, that's fine too. But we'd love to hear from you. So, dead air. Sorry about that. where do we go from here? Well, you know, It's a battle, and even the best of us can get caught up in the latest technological thing, the latest phone, the latest tablet, the latest computer, the latest TV, the latest streaming device. If I said phone already, I apologize, but the latest 4G phone, fastest phone there is. It's hard. We're not. You can't pretend like it doesn't affect us. We can't pretend like it doesn't at least try to reach out to us and try to at least tickle our fancy. And I'm not trying to be all grim about it. I'm just trying to be realistic about it, because honestly, it's a war. Life is war, psychological, spiritual, and biophysical. War we're up against, and bacteriological we're up against, all these wars every day of our lives. And we're fighting, not just to survive. That's only the basic foundation of our human nature, is fighting to survive, but wanting to overcome, wanting to rise above the ego, coming to true self-understanding, true realization of our oneness with God. If we're totally at one, if we're totally in oneness, if we're in the experience of unitive bliss, or our desires are God-focused, the transcendent-focused, then we're okay. We can really be ready and open to that space and that place of contentment, because nothing else compares with that. When you've had some sort of experience of gnosis or divine knowing, a divine acquaintance, some experience of the divine, whatever it may be, you want nothing else after that. And so I ask, don't pray to have your desires annihilated, so to speak. Pray for the desire to desire, but to desire that unit of oneness experience. If nothing else, to have that experience of total contentment where your yearning is satisfied by the essence of God, through and through, where the infinite Almighty holds you, embraces you, cherishes you, feeds you, nourishes you, allows you to endure, okay. We have to be masters of discrimination, not discrimination in terms of prejudice, but discrimination in terms of the sort of discrimination, the sort of truth we can live and lead and learn by example. We can be an example, or we can be inspired by exemplary people, holy people. We have to learn to say no sometimes. We have to learn to just let go of attachment, because all attachment, except for that of which magnetically attracts us to the divine, is fading away, is temporary. And during the season of Advent, we're called to awaken more fully to the consciousness of that one life sustainer, life giver, light presence, source of all inspiration, when you feel loved, when you are in love, there is no need to seek anything else. for a substitute. There's no need to seek anything external of you for happiness, for that contentment. And so many of us who are susceptible to the voices and to the scrambled, distorted messages that are sent out there during the holiday seasons, infringing upon seemingly our freedoms to enjoy and to just be and to just be still and be present to presence and present to our souls and present in our bodies, present and mindful in our minds and hearts. What I'm trying to say is if we're entranced by all those things, then we're probably out of alignment of that unitive experience. We're probably out of alignment, out of God alignment. And I don't mean that you haven't meritoriously earned God in some lackluster way, but or have failed to attain God. You don't attain God. God is. Always is. When you've learned to be and be present to that presence, to that one source, that infinite supply will give you everything you need. I might sound like an idealist, a crazed idealist. In an ideal world. Oh, in an ideal world. Okay. But no. It comes back to the love thing. If you truly know and you feel and you sense and you believe that you are loved unconditionally, you're going to have strength to overcome some of these temptations that we are sometimes susceptible to during this time of the year. To go out and get, accumulate, get more. Because you're going to be content within your heart, content within your soul. You're going to be content with what you have, with what you are, with who you are. Honestly. That's what it boils down to. You know, infinite gain. You will feel that you have attained infinite gain when you've surrendered the overwhelming desire, not desire itself, but the overwhelming desire to have something outside of yourself. When you're rooted deeply within spirit, when you're inspired or in the spirit, inspire in spirit, you're going to have strength to fight off these seeming legions of many. And you won't be affected by the consumerist propaganda. Because you'll know who you are and you'll know where you're rooted and you'll know what you're connected to and you'll know deep from within that you are loved and that you forever will be loved and that there is no need to seek anything else to get, acquire, and or to accumulate. Because you'll have all that you need. You'll know all that you know, you want to know. So we're coming down to the wire here. I hope that at least I've spoken to some truth. I've spoken about some truth, that something that speaks to you or to someone, just one person. One person, for God's sakes, who can rest is in knowing that they are the beloved one. That's what contentment is. Knowing that you are the beloved one, that you can be the beloved, that you don't need to do anything to become the beloved. You already are. You are it. You are that. Thou art that. You are the Christ. You are the Buddha nature. You are the God self. And when you know who you are as being one in presence and in reality with the infinite, then true contentment is possible. Rest and contentment. Easier said than done, I know. If we are going to be saviors and servants to the earth, if we're going to be blessed, bountiful, and beautiful, and in bliss, we need to raise the bar. We need to raise our standards for excellence, caliber, for the ability to leave an imprint, to make an impact, and to have a lasting impact in this world. If we're going to do that, we have to be rooted in the spirit of contentment, in the divine knowing, or the gnosis of, at God is all, and all things are in God, and that you are one with God, with the divine. Once again, I thank you for joining me here on Turning Points and Transformations. We've touched on in a roundabout way some of the distractions that we face during the holiday season, whether we're the Pope or some other spiritual leader or servants of God in our own right, we all are susceptible. But if we're rooted in that one infinite presence, holy and mighty, awe-inspiring, never-ending, always present, we will prevail. We will be a being filled with desire, but not driven by desire. So I leave you today with thanks. blessings, many blessings. I hope to have you back before the holidays next week here on Turning Points and Transformations.
Receive the new dispensation of universal priesthood, of the Pentecostal flame, no religious boundaries.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there, but I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Realization.